This is one of the most important passages in the whole Bible. It's one of the great turning points of the spread of the church, the spread of the gospel message. And today we're looking at two prayers, the prayer of Peter on the rooftop and the prayer of the Roman centurion. When you come to pray, do you have expectancy? When you come to God in prayer, do you expect things to change? Do you expect to learn things? I love this passage. I love the way there's so much humility in Peter. He says, I now realize things that I didn't know before. That the church grows and develops as leaders are teachable and are learning all the time. I now realize something I didn't know before. And that thing was not a little thing. It was a massive thing, and it was a huge blind spot. But God in his mercy has helped me to see his heart. He says, I now realize that God does not show favoritism. That God does not show favoritism. That God does not show favoritism. Who struggles with favoritism? Have you been on the receiving end of discrimination? I had a conversation with somebody this week. I was actually giving a presentation on the Equality and Diversity Act 2010 and its relevance for ministry today. And I came out with this phrase in my presentation. I said, I've never experienced discrimination in my whole life, not even once. Yeah, I might have been bullied at school once or twice, but I was never discriminated against for my basic identity. I said, yeah, I was a Scotsman in England for a while, but everyone was really nice to me. And the people online were from England, so they were encouraged by that. But then this black woman said in response to my presentation, I look forward to the day when I can have one day without being discriminated against. And something awakened in me that her life and my life were very different. That I had a privilege that she didn't enjoy. And also last week while I was driving around Scotland, I was listening to this man, Brian Stevenson, and he has written a book called Just Mercy. Brian Stevenson is one of the most inspirational people, one of the most inspirational Christians in America at the moment. He's done a TED talk on equality and justice. Graduating with a Harvard law degree, rather than going into a rich professional life, he chose to work with death row prisoners for 30 years. He's had a massive influence on the American justice system. He's been able to influence a change in legislation so that people under the age of 18 can no longer be executed on death row. His book is full of stories of people that are on death row for even though they're innocent. His book is full of stories of courtrooms where decisions are made which are just wrong. And he's chosen to devote his life to that. And he tells a story about when he was 10 years old, that his grandmother said, come here, Brian. You are very special. You can do anything you want with your life. But I want you to promise me one thing, that you'll always do the right thing, even if it's the difficult thing. That you will always do the right thing, even though it's the difficult thing. And what Peter is confronted with here on this rooftop in Joppa is that he has lived with favoritism all his life. We know in the book of Galatians, Peter was still struggling with this issue, that he was sitting with the Jews and wouldn't eat with the Gentiles. This is later on. So it's not a complete conversion for Peter here. He still struggles with this whole issue all his life. Jesus was so patient with Peter. Jesus chose Peter, even though Jesus knew that Peter was a slow learner. Peter didn't even understand the cross. Peter had deserted Jesus when Jesus was being tried by the Romans. When the chief priests went to speak to Pilate, the chief priests wouldn't go into Pilate's house because Jews don't go into Gentile houses because they think it makes them unclean. So they stood outside and spoke to Pilate. And this story is about a Roman centurion who God loves. We know that when Jesus died on the cross, it was a Roman centurion who said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Now, I don't think this is the same Roman centurion. But Roman centurions can change their mind about Jesus Christ. Roman centurions are within the sphere of God's mercy. And the reason why this is important, is because the church at this point is 100% Jewish. In the chapter before, Acts chapter 9, we have the Pharisee, Saul of Tarsus, who is dramatically awakened and converted. Ananias is to go and visit Saul to help him. And Ananias says, "No way, I'm not going there. That's a difficult thing. That's an uncomfortable thing. That's a dangerous thing to go and do a pastoral visit to Saul of Tarsus." But God says, "Go, Ananias, for this man is my chosen instrument to bring the gospel to the Gentile people, the non-Jews." And Ananias does the difficult thing. Ananias does the uncomfortable thing, and he goes, and the rest is history. And in the next chapter, Peter does the difficult thing. Peter does the uncomfortable thing. He goes alongside this Roman centurion who has been praying, has been calling out to God. We don't know exactly what he was praying about, but it said at the end of this chapter that God has heard Cornelius's prayers. Was he saying, "I'm a Roman. I am part of the people group that executed Jesus, and yet I want to become part of the family of God. Can you solve that problem, Lord? Can you move that mountain, Lord?" Is that what he prayed? Because God answered his prayer and said, "Send for Peter." And Peter would have said, "Absolutely no way am I going." But three times God said to him, "I have never eaten." You said, "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean, but do not call anything impure that God has made clean." Isn't it true that all of us have an unconscious bias that we will get alongside people who are like us, but we do not want to go through the discomfort of getting alongside people who are not like us. I know that's certainly true for me, but God is helping me to see that. And that is a big gap between my heart and God's heart. And I wonder if you can relate to that too. I wonder. Maybe it's to reach out to someone from a different age group. Maybe it's to reach out to someone with disabilities. Maybe it's to reach out to someone who has a lifestyle that you don't approve of, to spend time with them. Do you think God would use you this week in a place where you would be uncomfortable in order that they may come to know Jesus? See, Peter's on this rooftop and he gets this revelation. If we were on a rooftop in Inverness and we could think of Ord Hill, I suppose, or maybe thinking of driving in from Inverarney, or perhaps Inches Park, where they walk the dogs, and you can see the whole city, what would it be like to pray from that position and to ask God, is there anyone in this city, is there any people group in this city that we need to get alongside? Is there anyone that we can reach even though it makes us uncomfortable, even though it's inconvenient? When I was in Newcastle, we decided to buy a house in an area where people said, if you buy a house there, you'll never sell it again. But it was our church strategy that we would reach the local area, and so as church leaders, as an elder, I felt it right for me to live in the area. And I ended up leading a football team, and I got to know guys who were like third generation unemployed, and they became my friends, and we shared the gospel with them, and football was a great leveler. They didn't care too much about the fact that my economic position was very different to theirs. They only cared that I turned up with the strips on time and drove them to the football match. And it was a great experience of mission and church. Now, this issue of compassion shouldn't have been a surprise for Peter. Peter is on a rooftop in Joppa. Can you think of anybody else in the Bible who was in Joppa and was struggling with the same issue? Can you think of anyone? Do you know who I'm talking about? You can shout it out. Jonah. The book of Jonah is about God asking Jonah to do the difficult thing and to do the uncomfortable thing because God loves the enemies of Israel, the Assyrians, who were flailing the skin off the people they captured. They were the most brutal people, the most brutal army. They absolutely hated them, just like the Jews hated the Romans. And we know the little story of Jonah. We've all got the little whale in our bath and all of that. But the story is actually about racism. The story is about the sphere of God's compassion. And the very last sentence in the whole book of Jonah is, God says to Jonah, Should I not have compassion on this great city? There's 120,000 people who don't know their right hand from their left. Should I not have compassion? Because Jonah has just said to God, I knew you were like this. That's why I didn't go in the first place. I knew you would show them compassion. I knew that if they repented and turned from their wicked ways, that you would completely forgive them. And that's why I didn't go. That's why I went in the opposite direction. And as he's sulking under the tree, God is saying, Jonah, Jonah, shouldn't I have compassion on this great city? In Psalm 145, it says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all, and he has compassion on all that he has made. So you may be here this morning thinking, I don't get the Old Testament. I find the Old Testament difficult. But there are gems in the Old Testament which illuminate the New Testament. That's why we need to get to know the stories. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. And proximity is crucial. This is another thing that Brian Stevenson says. He says, if you want to reflect God's compassion, you need to get proximate, close to the people that are suffering. There is power in proximity. Because as you get close to people, you can wrap your arms around them and give them a hug. If you stay aloof and apart, you cannot identify or relate. As you get closer to people, you experience the discomfort of the difference. You feel out of your depth. You feel you'll say the wrong thing, you'll do the wrong thing, but they will be glad that you came, that you were there, that you didn't stay away because it was too uncomfortable, because it was too difficult. And if we do that, we will get an opportunity to share the reason for the hope that's in us. And so Peter turns up at this house in obedience to the Lord, and it's not a difficult one. What he thought was going to be so difficult turned out to be so easy because he was in the grain of God's will. And these people were waiting, all teed up, for him to share the message. We have been waiting for you, Peter. And we were waiting to hear what the Lord has commanded you to say. That happened to me last year. It's only happened to me once in my life, but it happened to me last year. It was during COVID. And I went round to this house, and I had the opportunity. They said, our whole family is here, and we want you to tell us, Alistair, because we haven't seen you for so many years, what the Lord has done for you. What the Lord has done for you. I was standing outside the house. I didn't want to go in because it was like COVID time. I didn't want to hug anybody. I didn't want to shake hands. And the first one went, and then the mother went, and I thought, what do I do now? Because I was going to meet them outside in the garden, and I went in. And the first thing they said when I went in was, We're waiting for you to tell us about your life and what God has done for you over the years. And I shared with the whole family. And I'm not approving of that, what I did, but I was in a situation where, what could I do? What could I do? And it's often in these difficult choices, isn't it? These difficult choices. We're uncomfortable, it's difficult. But God is at work in the situation. And what Peter shared was that although we live in an unjust world, there's a day coming when there will be justice for all. On the Alpha Course, these are the questions that are coming up. Why is there so much injustice? What about President Putin? What about the bullies? What about the evil and injustice in our world? And the gospel is that there's a day coming when God will put all things right and will judge everyone by his Son, Jesus Christ. He will put all things right, the whole of creation, but before he does that, he wants to put me right and he wants to put you right. And the way he fixes us is by dying for us on the cross. His life a sin offering. Sin matters. Sin matters. Evil matters. God's only Son went to the cross because of our sins. He died for our sins and he rose from the dead on the third day. If he had not risen from the dead, he would not have defeated evil and sin. We would still be dealing with the sin problem if Jesus had not risen from the dead. But it's interesting that in this scripture, the very first thing that Peter says is that God has commanded us to say that Jesus Christ is the one appointed to judge the living and the dead. Verse 42. Judgment is part of the gospel. By the unique only Son, Jesus Christ, all of us one day will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And no matter who you are, no matter the color of your skin, no matter what your background or your education or your exposure to church or your lack of church understanding, that everyone who turns from their sins and trusts in Jesus Christ will be completely forgiven and set right and given eternal life. And that is the message that Peter brought. And as you read chapter 11, you see that we are slow learners. I'm a slow learner. I'm definitely a slow learner. Maybe you're quicker than me. But they were slow learners. When Peter went back and told them what happened, they were really gobsmacked. They said, "What? That the gift of God, the gift of salvation, the gift of forgiveness of sins, the gift of eternal life, the gift of the Holy Spirit, even for Gentiles? Even for Gentiles? Just look at the scripture. Look at how it's written. Even for Gentiles." But they accepted what Peter said. And the church went on to become a church of one people, so that whether there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor male or female, we are all one in Christ through Jesus Christ. We're all one through Jesus Christ. Galatians 3, verse 26 to 8. That there's equality of access to the God of the universe. There's equality of justice. There's equality of opportunity. But the truth is, friends, that it doesn't feel like that. I was taken to church twice, plus Sunday school, plus youth fellowship, four times a week, four times on a Sunday. It was drummed into me that God is important. And I got that for 16 years, 18 years, and then a few years at university. I just don't think it's fair that I should get hundreds of opportunities to respond to Jesus Christ, and it takes me 9 years from the Scripture Union camp in Betty Hill to me saying I'll follow Jesus. 9 years. Isn't God patient? But there's some people in Inverness that I've never even heard once. Not even once. Is that fair? And the only way that that can be put right is if we are prepared to do the uncomfortable thing, if we are prepared to do the difficult thing and make friends with people who are not like us and spend time with people who are not like us and love them and wrap our arms around them that they may know Jesus Christ, that they may know the hope that we know. May God help us. Amen.